Hare Krishna. So the news is that Bin Laden is dead, which is probably good news for people all over the world. And a fanatic, bad person who inspired a lot of violence and aggression amongst people. Whether it will really change the situation amongst terrorists, time will tell. Whether they'll have lost any of their inspiration, or whether it will inspire them further to also be martyred. Hare Krishna. Anyway, I wasn't going to be my plan today to make a comment on that. Actually, I was speaking to Tejas Prabhu, who's here in Hungary for a month to help with our Eco Valley sustainability projects, and also work on his own book on sustainability, because it was something actually that he was into even before he joined Krishna Consciousness. That's how he joined Krishna Consciousness in India. And also he's going to be, he's also told me about this book that he's writing about his time with Srila Prabhupada in Delhi. Very inspiring. And he's going to be giving classes in the evening in New Rajadham on that, and I'm sure that'll be very inspirational. I'll try and record all those as well. And the devotees will be able to hear them, unless they want to come to Hungary, or they are coming to Hungary for Nishimi Chaturdasi, then they can hear some seminars from Tejas Prabhu. Told me he had 1,000 hours of association with Srila Prabhupada. That's a lot. And so he's got a lot to speak about. One interesting discussion that I had with him, he was actually speaking with Lila Sukhapura, just sort of stepped in and we took over on one particular theme that he was talking, and he was telling me about the time when he was living in India and he was living amongst the Andhra Aboriginal tribes. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Purkisha. These Andhras who are, he said, they don't have a name for themselves. And he said that they just, you know, wear a kulpan, just wear bare little clothes to cover themselves. And they live in the jungle. They don't even have houses. They just live outside under the shelter of the stars, and during the monsoon reason, the season, then they make some kind of roof that they live under. And the interesting topic he had brought up was what their customs were, particularly in terms of relationship between men and women. And it was really quite fascinating. I'll just relate some of the things that he'd mentioned. And I'm sure it'll raise some eyebrows. But he pointed out that the tradition there between these tribals was that men and women would not come close in than about 12 feet or 4 meters of each other in terms of their communication. When you came any closer than that, you really sort of crossed over their boundaries. You broke into their space, as one may say. And they were very, the women were very chaste, despite the fact that they weren't completely dressed, completely clothed. And they had an awareness of the need of keeping separation between men and women. So, Tejas Prabhu said that when they slept, you can't say it's a village because I don't know how many houses, but the sort of clearing or the place that they resided, the men, starting with 10-year-old boys, all slept together, and not too far away so that the men could keep an eye and make sure that the women were protected. The women slept all together. They didn't mix. They didn't sleep together. Husband and wife didn't sleep together. Families didn't sleep together. They all lived like that communally. And interesting. It's quite a extraordinary exhibition. But that wasn't all. He pointed out that family planning was done by the village elders. They decided when and who should have family, and they just had one little hut, he said, in the area. And when families came there, they went there to conceive, and that was it. That was it in terms of close interaction between husband and wife, between men and women. And it's very interesting because you're talking about sort of aboriginals, and this type of conduct or at least this type of very restrictive interaction is something that they valued as part of their own culture, as their heritage, as something that obviously so-called quote-unquote more civilized, advanced people certainly look down on. They don't consider this to be something of value, although, of course, in our Vedic tradition, mixing of sexes, free mixing of sexes, even of husband and wife, was very, very restricted. So somehow or another, these Aboriginal people had this, valued this, and that was, I guess, 30 years ago. I don't know what's going on now, but they were living in this way, and it was an integral part of their lifestyle. I know that if I go to some grihastha's homes and I see that the husband and wife have their own living room, I think to myself, wow, these are really strict grihastas, usually a good average, I can't want to say standard, but a good average is when the husband and wife have different beds in the living room, and then, you know, when they're living in the same bed, that's, anyway, it's no longer my sphere of influence. As a sannyasi, I don't want to get into it. Although certainly Srila Prabhupada speaks and writes about it at length, about how in Indian society, especially in higher class society, how men and women never slept together, that in a house the men would sleep on the outside portion of the house and the women would sleep in the inner courtyard. And personal association was restricted. Of course, nowadays, habits and practices are changing. I'm not talking about the world around us. They're really gone. But even within our Krishna consciousness movement, the practices of devotees and grihasthas in terms of interaction amongst the sexes is not really considered to be something that's really what we want to connect with Krishna consciousness and Krishna consciousness values, or the type of cultural norms that we're integrating, but rather generally we continue on with whatever goes on in the outside world and just sort of add Krishna consciousness to that. Interesting to note, though, that somehow these very primitive people had a different set of values, and despite the fact that their other forms of lifestyle may have been very simple, they saw that if they want to be at least valued or ethical or good or progressive in their own culture and their own practices, that I'd say it was more than a healthy, it was quite a robust separation between the opposite sexes was recommended. And but no doubt, as Kali Yuga goes along, these things are eroding. If it hasn't already all gone, it would be interesting to see where it's gone to. But it was like that, certainly like that. That was the sort of information and teachings that we received from Srila Prabhupada when we joined, whether people consider them to be practical or not practical nowadays. That's for devotees to consider how they want to actually really develop the principles of Varnashrama and our culture, the cultural revolution that Srila Prabhupada spoke about, that we're a spiritual culture, not just a religion, but we're a culture, and therefore we have different ways of doing things. And this is one of the things that we have different ways of doing, association between men and women. Hare Krishna.